And welcome back to the Trust Your Gut podcast. I'm your host, Drew Devitt. With me are two of my favorite people on planet Earth. Back with me today, Lucius Beer and Sterling Carroll. What's going on, guys?
Hey, brother. It is so good to be back in the pod room.
Been too long, and I'm so excited to finally talk about football because it's back. So I need old reliable back.
Wait, how long has it been? It's been like at least 6 months.
I checked before we got back on. The last recording we had was 8 months ago. You know, we've been all really busy. I got a new job. Beer started his spot moving down to dirty old T, and Sterling, you're kind of just kicking it in Scottsdale. So we've been all been really busy, and we're back right in time for football right before the season. Great time of the year with NBA playoffs. I'm a little bit now in a slower spot, you know, with my my job with the Warriors. So it's been good time. I'm very much still invested in NBA basketball, but I get to just sell some tickets and get ready for the upcoming year while we get ready for football as well. It's fun.
Good times ahead. Got to keep a close eye on this NBA playoffs too. But
yeah, it's going to be really interesting. East is very much wide open for whoever comes in second place. I mean, as long as Jimmy doesn't continue to do Jimmy things, Boston should very much easily win the East. Dame's out game four, Giannis out game four. They're kind of looking cooked to your Pacers there, Lucius. So that'll be interesting.
Hell yeah.
A lot of teams look like they're going to blow up in the West. All the teams that I want to blow up lost yesterday, taking some major hits. Lakers down quite a bit to Daddy Denver. Suns look like they don't like playing with each other. They play like spite basketball. Hilarious. That's definitely going to blow up. And the Clippers also look like another James Harden effect blowing up. That Paul George, Harden, Kawhi,
that's just sad to see,
trio. And it is, but I feel like the West is too stacked. They're getting a little old. I feel like they're going to have to pivot here, especially quick moving into that new arena there in LA. But it'll be interesting to see how the playoffs work out. My biggest hot take that I'm feeling very confident about now with the Timberwolves taking care of business is that I think OKC makes that big move to reacquire Kevin Durant, bring him home, be good for his legacy, try to help get those young guys to a chip. I mean, we saw in the last game, they're handling their business against the Pelicans pretty well, but I mean, they're playing a Pelicans team without Zion. And you know, they have a lot of draft picks, and every person who scored in game two or 25 and under, like, I don't know how sustainable that will be. So if they lose like in the Western Conference Finals, I could definitely see, or semifinals, see Kevin Durant going back, give the Suns some picks and make OKC legit for next year, which would be really fun to watch.
That'd be insane to see happen. The likeliness of it. What would you say, a 50-50 shot right now, or more of like
that the Suns blow up, or that KD goes back to OKC? Because I feel like that's pretty bold.
No. KD going back to OKC. I feel like
KD going back to OKC is like
moving in general.
I feel like it's the most likely spot that he would go back, like thinking of teams. I just think that the West is too stacked and it's got to like implode a little bit. Especially with the teams that aren't good in the West are getting better and really young. Like Houston missed the play-in tournament, but Jalen Green and young Jokic looks really, really good. They're young, they're getting better. I mean, there's only a matter of time before Victor's the face of the league. And they didn't make the playoffs / play-in. So, I mean, the West is only getting better. I feel like those teams have to blow it up eventually. Who knows? It'd be interesting to see how the East goes. you know, the NBA just needs to expand, in my opinion. They need two more teams, kick out New Orleans, Minnesota, or Memphis to the east, and add a team in Seattle and Vegas, and then let the league find some parity again, like there was like a couple years ago in like 2022. I think that was the most parity that the NBA had, at least in the last like 20 years, with the Spurs dynasty and the Warriors / Cleveland dynasty. So we'll see. NBA is going to be really interesting.
Very interesting. Can't wait. Can't wait for all of it to unfold.
How's your wallet treating you, Beer, since March Madness? It seemed like you had a pretty solid tournament, but you went a little sour there towards the end. What happened on your end? Fill in the people at home.
Yeah, this was not my best tournament. They're all right. You know, we had all my official picks that I was going to put on Twitter and never did because I forgot. but we did decent. The bracket this year was potentially the worst I've ever made, so that was awesome. Hours in the lab absolutely wasted. Was, you know, standing over Tucson pondering if this was all worth it at the end of the day. And, you know, UConn's inevitable, man. Dan's got a powerhouse there. You know, these other teams were in contention. My stupid ass had Auburn win the whole thing, and they got smacked by Yale in the first round just because I trusted Ken Pom's analytics way too much. And should have rolled with the hot teams. Two hot teams that were coming in were UConn and NC State. NC State came in off that wild ACC tourney run to win their conference. And then they were immediately written off. And I was thinking while I was making my bracket, like, well, they came in hot, but I was like, no, they can't do this. DJ Burns is not a sustainable player model. So it's just, I don't know. I should have known better. Didn't. And now here we are. But props to UConn going back to back. It's an impressive run for them, and I'm interested to see what they're going to do. Had some big coaching moves over the offseason. John Calipari is now the Arkansas head coach.
Sweet.
In my book, he's a piece of shit as far as I'm concerned, because I'm a born and raised Kentucky hater, so I don't really give a shit what he does. But, you know, they got Cooper Flagg is coming into Duke this year, and Duke's already just a consensus top five team.
That draft class that they have coming in is insane.
Yeah, this nice. Recruiting class for college is going to be – it's going to make this year really interesting, especially sneaky load up on the transfer portal that I've seen so far is Indiana. They've had six transfers come in. They got Omar Ballo from U of A, their star center, transferred to Indiana.
I didn't know
that. And then they've had three other former top five recruits transfer in, I think, right after that. Indiana's kind of sneaky loading up. And, you know, it'll be interesting with, you know, all the NIL deals, transfer portal BS, that, you know, we're going to have new contenders that we didn't think were possible. But, you know, it'll kind of just be a – we'll see what happens. It's been an interesting break since the end of March.
Yeah.
Well said.
I think the only thing in the tournament that really disappointed me was the Mountain West performance, considering I was really high on them all year. And that I just felt really bad for, you know, you said you had Auburn. That specific region was absolutely loaded. Like, I loved Iowa State, loved UConn, loved Auburn. I could have picked legitimately all three of those teams to make the Final Four. But I mean, UConn, like you said, inevitable, and Purdue, they were the best. They were the second best team all year, outside of maybe an argument for Houston, but they are just, I just hate their brand of basketball. I'm one of the Zach Edey haters personally, just really boring. I hate all things Purdue, to be honest. I have no good reason for it. Aside the fact that I just don't love, you know, like the stigma with Purdue, like the engineering school, the rough and tumble. I don't know. I like more flash, I guess, than how
that's fair.
then they're just boring. It's just not my cup of tea in all things football, basketball, education related. So didn't love Purdue, but I did have UConn, fortunately, winning my bracket. So won the family bracket, hurrah. And I think I did pretty solid in our little friendly fantasy football league. I think Hybert won it all, but I was in the top half of it, I think. I don't know where it ended up. I had New Mexico going to the Final Four, unfortunately. So that was my only bad take. I should have went with the other 11 seed. Like you said, DJ Burns, dog. It was a very interesting tournament. A lot of chalk in the middle couple of rounds, but it was entertaining. I mean, the women's tournament was much better, but it was fun.
That's a first, huh?
Yeah, wild.
That's good.
I was digging the Final Four matchups in the women's tournament. The UConn Iowa game was incredible. I really hope Paige Beckers ends up being the Golden State expansion team pick next year because she's coming back. So it'll be very nice. We're getting an expansion team. It's gonna be really nice. It'll be really nice to sell some tickets to that. It'll be really fun. That's my hope, my prayer.
San Francisco?
Yeah, San Francisco is getting a W expansion team. So this is like our last offseason without having the W at Chase Center. So we're getting into the expansion team, and who knows? Paige Beckers could be her. Would love to get that started here. So it'll be really, really interesting. South Carolina, also boring, kind of like the Purdue thing. But I mean, they're really, really good. They deserved it all year, undefeated, unreal. I mean, Caitlin could do her best. It was David versus Goliath, so it was about what I expected. But it was very, very fun, very entertaining. Happy for the W. Hope they have some success coming up. Hopefully Fanatics get some jerseys out to some fans. Did you guys see that? That was my least favorite story I think I've read all year, sports related.
Caitlin Clark with like the whole jersey sales?
Yeah. I mean, they had breaking numbers all over the place, but Fanatics like didn't make enough jerseys, and they're expected shipping out to fans like as late as August. Like the Indiana Fever jerseys that they were supposed to have ready for draft day didn't make enough. Like how do you not make enough Caitlin Clark jerseys? Like you've seen the demand for it for the last 2 years. I feel like as soon as she went pro, you should have made a million of them. Like I don't understand, but oh well. Well, hopefully everyone gets their jerseys by start of or middle of the season. I guess for the WNBA.
Did you buy one?
And I did not. I gotta wait. I'm waiting for the W team. And I'll get a whoever our first pick is for our W team jersey. I'll rock that. Hopefully I can rock a Paige Beckers jersey. But we'll see how that goes.
Would be tough.
It would be so tough. I'd rock it, dude. That'd be so fun.
Would be tough.
Yeah. We don't even have a name yet. I want that to come. I think we're supposed to do that probably around the time where like middle May, I would guess, is when we start releasing a lot of that like branding for our team. So you'll hear more about it in the coming months, I would think.
Whatever name you guys pick, do it better than whatever Utah is doing for their new hockey team, because they're picking some really weird names.
That's probably my second least favorite story of the year for sports. Rip the Yotes, man. What the hell?
Dude, our owner is such a piece of shit. I mean, chronicle the whole thing. They wouldn't pay their taxes in Glendale at, what is it now, the Desert Diamond Arena? I forget what it used to be. And so Glendale gave them the boot. Tempe, they had that whole nice entertainment set up. Tempe voted to put keep the landfill there instead of build an arena. And now the landfill is, of course, extremely toxic, and it's creating an environmental hazard to the city. So sucks for them. And then they had the plan to go get that arena in North Scottsdale and over by TPC course, which pretty much makes that a sports entertainment area. And that was the auction was until June 28th. So there was time to, you know, get things going and hopefully figure that out. But then all of a sudden the owner in the NHL was like, hey, playing a Mullet Arena doesn't work. You guys need to go. And so the owner said, fine, I'll take the $1 billion and you can have them. And they paid him $1.2 billion. I think $200 million of that was distributed to other NHL teams. And then, I mean, the owner retained the naming rights for the Oaks, but it's, you know, they're gone. And he only has it for 5 years. And they'll only let him build, let him get a new expansion team out here in the next 5 years if he builds a new arena. So he claims he's still committed to building this new arena once he gets the land, if he gets the land in the auction. But apparently Mullet Arena was not suitable for NHL games. So they told him, see you later. And he took the $1 billion and kind of ran with it and says, hey, well, we'll keep hockey in the desert. I don't trust a damn word you say, brother. You are lying through your teeth and you have ruined a good franchise for the city, for the state, in my opinion.
What are the names that Utah is coming up with?
Oh, there was something like, I'd have to look it up to remember what it is, but it was, the list was stupid.
Storm and Mormons.
Electric.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Soakers.
Yeah. The Super Soakers.
The Elite.
Like the Supersonics?
I guess one of them is the Utah Mammoth.
What?
The Utah Yetis. The Utah Blizzard. Just Utah Hockey Club.
Oh, do a Washington situation?
Utah Venom. Utah Outlaws. Utah Ice and the Utah Fury.
I like Blizzard. Terrible. That's kind of dope.
Blizzard's not bad. You can do some cool jerseys.
Here comes the Blizzard.
Yeah.
I mean, if you like do like similar to the colorway of the Jazz's like Purple Mountain jerseys, like I feel like the Blizzard would be kind of sick. Like yeah. That royal purple. And
I've
like
seen
blue.
The concepts for them, and they're actually pretty cool. So I'm not against it completely, but I'm still just, I'm pissed about the whole thing.
Just also too. A bummer that, you know, that they take the roster with them. And, you know, what they were kind of building starting to become a little bit competitive again, that they're just now Utah's team. And if Arizona does get the expansion team in the next 5 years, they have to start all over again, which is just a bummer. So tough for Arizona natives and for y'all. I did love heading to Yotes games. Thanks for the tickets, beer. But tough scene out of there.
Yeah, it's pretty, I don't know the word I'm looking for. It's kind of a gloomy around here in the world of hockey. You know, but hey, down here in Tucson, we got their, direct minor league affiliate, the Tucson Roadrunners. And they just got swept in the first round of their playoffs. So, you know, morale's at an all time high here. Things are looking up, and there's rumors that they might move this Tucson minor league team up to Mullet until we can get a NHL team in Phoenix. And I don't know how that's going to work, because Tucson's going to be pissed. So the owner is just kind of pissing off everybody right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody threw like a million eggs at his stupid fat head because he stinks. And he deserves it. Bro made $1 billion and screwed over an entire state. So good for him, I guess. Jackass. That's all I would say.
Well, there is an upside, awesome. If you think about it. If you want to pivot away from hockey, the Arizona Cardinals had quite a good draft. Like, if you want to pivot to some NFL football here, the Cardinals draft was awesome.
Montsoria, he's making the boys out there in Glendale look kind of good. That's the best draft I've seen them have in a long time.
Dude's cooking. I mean, he took the no-brainer pick with Marvin Harrison Jr. and then kind of went off from there. A lot of just top-end talent off the board when it was available. Really, really liked what the Cardinals did this year in their draft. Acquiring more picks as often as possible, trading back a few times. I mean, they made a lot of picks, a lot of talent to be built off of that. Got Kyler some help on the line, giving Kyler the number one receiver he needed with D-Hop gone and pairing that with also Marquise Brown leaving. So I think the Cardinals did a great job in the draft, if you wanted to harp on that at all.
No, I mean, I think you're right. It's, getting Marvin Harrison Jr. was kind of a no-brainer. People were afraid the Cardinals were going to, you know, trade out of it and do something else, which I wouldn't put past them in the slightest, at least the old Cardinals. New Cardinals did great. Yeah, I mean, they got the guys they needed right from the jump. Mm-hmm. Darius Robinson is who they got late first round, that edge from Missouri.
Dog.
Great fit. They need pass rushers. Mm-hmm. Absolute dog. Max Melton, great corner. They got him high second round. You know, it's overall, they've just been doing well. Trey Benson, the running back from Florida State.
I was going to say, don't sleep on him. That was the second running back off the board. He was awesome. He's legit.
No, I love Trey Benson. I think that's a great pickup and addition to their running back room. I'm just looking at their list of people they've drafted. I mean, they had four picks in the third round.
Yeah.
They're making moves. They're finally at building and doing things they need to do, get the people they need to get. And I mean, they're filling all the necessary spots that they had gaps in, and they're even just adding spots for depth now. I'm pleasantly surprised what the Cardinals are doing, and I'm honestly kind of optimistic for how this draft class is going to play out for them.
Yeah. So then, do you have any thoughts on the Cardinals? I know you're that's also your second team.
Yeah, I mean, I love what they're doing. See a nice pivot to, you know, not their same old ways. So I just living in Arizona, I do want to see them do well, and I think they're on the right track, making the right moves. I'm just excited to draft Marvin Harrison and fantasy. That's really it. That's all I can think of. He's gonna be a fucking dog.
Yeah, that'd be my number one overall for any dynasty leagues for fantasy. Marvin Harrison Jr. would be the most ideal. I mean, with such a weak running back class overall, outside of, you know, those top three, the Texas running back, Florida State, and Blake Corum. Outside of those three, not worth it for dynasty, but I think those a lot of great wide receivers that you can take in that situation. So it'll be interesting to see how high Marvin Harrison Jr. is mocked in a lot of fantasy drafts, not just dynasty, but in overall. Like, Kyler has relied on his number one guy a lot. I mean, when D-Hop was there, he had like 150 targets a year. Like, it was nuts. Like, the production that he would have with his number one big safety blanket guy. So, it'll be definitely interesting to see how he plays out for fantasy this year.
Where did Blake Corum end up going? He got picked today, right?
Yeah, Rams.
Rams.
Mm. Pairing him with Kyren Williams.
I like it.
Pretty solid pickup for the Rams.
I think so, too. They usually do pretty well with their running back room, and I can see something something very well with him paired with Kyren. He's a dog, man. He's going to have that spot locked up for a couple of years, I can assume.
Yeah, a lot of people's fantasy hero last year. Him and Puka, waiver wire ads of the year for a lot of people if you didn't get them in the late rounds.
Yeah, sorry. I saw a tweet notification from Rap Sheet. The Patriots just snagged Joe Milton in the late sixth. So that's interesting addition to their quarterback room.
The Patriots did?
But anyhow, yeah, they did.
Why?
Just now.
Why?
With the 193rd pick. I'm not sure. But Joe Milton's a Patriot now, so.
What's the...
I don't really get it.
I mean, they took May.
But maybe they just need another project quarterback because they're bored just as a backup. I don't even know Is Bailey Zappe still there?
If he is, he's gone, bro.
Good question.
I loved me some Bailey Zappe, but if he's still there, I didn't even know Joe Milton was up for this draft. He hasn't done really anything impressive since he hurt himself, which is unfortunate, but
very unfortunate. I mean, rocket arm, like the biggest arm in recent memory, but I mean, just out of pure culture, why would you like even consider taking a late round quarterback, even if you don't expect him to be in the mix at all? I mean, your quarterback room should just be filled with vets that you plan on helping May, because May won't play in the beginning of the year. He won't. They'll have Jacoby Brissett, I believe, lead the way,
yes,
at least for the first few weeks, if you want May to take over in the typical week five, week six, take over and go from there. But I mean, not a good move. I do not like that from the Patriots. I thought that they had a pretty solid draft outside of that. I mean, got your cornerstone guy in May, you know, very Justin Herbert, physically arm talent, outside of the pocket wise, similar in a lot of comps. But I don't know. I don't love that.
I don't either.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. It's a weird move. You know who I'm curious about? I totally forgot about what's his name? Sam Hartman out of Notre Dame. He'd be a good
Did he good get two selected guy. Somewhere?
No. I'm just curious.
Oh, he hasn't been picked yet. You're right.
No, I'm just curious to know where he ends up. Because I could see him.
Supermodel himself, long flowing hair.
Yeah, dude. Get him on the boys, man. I'm on the boys at the third.
Yeah, right now,
third string.
Yeah, sweet Sam Hartman is currently the fourth best available overall quarterback. So I doubt he gets taken.
Yeah, I don't think he'll have a home in this.
Who's
draft.
In front of him?
But
John Plumlee, Michael Pratt. Devin Leary.
Yeah, Michael Pratt's top available quarterback. Then you got Keaton Slovis from BYU, and then Devin Leary from Kentucky.
I love Slovis. I think Slovis is a career backup wherever he goes.
Yeah.
I mean, people forget how good he was at USC. Remember when him and Jaden Daniels played each other? Actually, Jaden Daniels was probably out that game. But at the end of our sophomore year, when we were at ASU, he was slinging it to Michael Pittman Jr. in that receiving core for USC. They were just dogs. He was so good his freshman year. You know, went a couple other places. I feel like that is your prototypical career backup.
Like, yeah, he's nice. Can't forget about Tua's brother out of Maryland. He's literally the worst quarterback in the draft.
He's awful. I'd take Luke McCaffrey at quarterback over Tua's brother. I mean,
yeah, he ain't great.
Awful. Awful.
I'm excited for Luke McCaffrey, man. He's got fucking hands.
I am too. Super exciting. Exciting whites. It's what we love to see on the Trust Your Gut podcast. Cooper DeJean.
We really do.
That's insane.
The brother to the Eagles. We're here for some exciting whites.
Who the hell let the Eagles get away with this again?
I don't know. Like, if you have a high school mixtape like that, and you, it was hilarious watching Cooper DeJean and then Kool-Aid McKinstry go back-to-back. I mean, just polar opposite people, but equally good at their position, and very very high end talents. Very cool to see the Eagles snag Cooper DeJean. I'm excited to watch him. You have a lot of eyes on him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he. What was I gonna say? Yeah, between him and. Shit, you know what? I don't even remember. So scratch it. I totally just had a brain fart. I'm not going to fucking talk anymore.
Great podcasting. Thanks, Beer.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, it's I'm a little rusty.
It's okay. It's been 8 months. I get it. We're all getting back into the swing of things. Well, we'll get you on a topic of something you know. Yeah, there you go. What do you got?
Can I want to address this. I want to address this because it's pissing me off. What are the Falcons doing? Can we just get that? Let's get it nipped.
There we go.
Let's get it nipped.
Perfect.
This is how I see
great
it.
Topic.
This is how I see
we were going to get to them eventually.
I'm thinking about it now.
Who knows, dude? I mean, Orlovsky went on a whole rant yesterday about how they're supposedly, like, he understood and loved the draft pick. Which Orlovsky's, you know, kind of a nut, so I'm not really going to take anything he says face value. But my only rationalization of it is you paid a shit ton of money for a quarterback who's 35 and coming off a torn Achilles. I mean, that's a wild card. But still, taking a quarterback that high, and especially Michael Penix Jr. that high, is just beyond me. That's the only potential rationalization I could have of it. Otherwise, I don't know. I really don't know. It's just the clip afterwards of the coach having to explain to the GM having to explain to the owner what the hell he's doing, and looks like he's defending his job. Is 100% rationalized. I mean, you pissed off all of Atlanta. Nobody knows what the hell you're doing. You just paid Kirk, and they didn't even have the courtesy to tell Kirk that they were going to draft him, which Kirk's now pissed, and his whole camp is pissed. I mean, they couldn't have made a shit show of that pick more if they tried.
The only way I see this justified, in my opinion, is it's like a sit behind Kirk for 2 years, you know, and see, kind of give Kirk that, you know, a couple years to see what he can do. And then I think it's the first two that's fully guaranteed, or is it all four?
I don't think all four of his contract are fully guaranteed. I mean, it's the NFL. I doubt that Kirk, I mean, his contract was insane. He's got an insane agent for getting that much money after a fully guaranteed contract with the Vikings. Nuts. But I think it was $180 million. I don't know how many of the years is guaranteed, but I'll look it up while you talk about it.
Okay, yeah, that's just the only way I see it is the first 2 years, sit behind Kirk, learn. I mean, that's kind of the best way to go about these situations. But even at that, that's high for Penix, and I just don't see what he's thinking, and it kind of puts a weird taste in everybody's mouth in the locker room. I don't know. I'm really excited to see how the season plays out for them, and I think it's going to work out in the end, but who knows what the hell that guy's doing.
Yeah, I'll here's my take. And to answer your question about his contract, Kirk's 2 years of it is guaranteed, $100 million guaranteed. He had like $50 million signing bonus. And then it was 2 years, $100 million. So that's what we're looking at for big Kirko in the A. I like the fit with Kirk in Atlanta. I think it was great. I think taking a quarterback to replace Kirk Cousins isn't awful. Spending an eighth overall pick on said quarterback isn't good. What they should probably have done there is take some protection. They could have used a little bit of offensive line help still to help out Kirk. I mean, he's coming off of a pretty significant injury. We don't know what we're getting out of Kirk Cousins in that situation. But Kirk is a pro's pro. I'm sure he'll take Penix under his wing. But if you're also taking Kirk Cousins' replacement in this draft, you don't take the 24-year-old quarterback who is also extremely injured in college. It just doesn't make sense. I love Penix. I really do. I wanted the Raiders to take him at 13. And even at 13, I feel like that would have been a little bit stretch on the value, because here's my thing with the NFL draft is that no matter what a team does, you're not getting worse in the NFL draft. A pick may not pan out. Oh, well, that's how it works. But I mean, fans are so excited for the draft because you don't lose. No one loses on draft day. You can have some analysts tell you it's like, no, this isn't great for your team. Oh, well, but you can't lose. And I think that's why a lot of the cities who are bidding on this draft process want to have the draft so much, is because fans are in such high spirits. There's no loser. And everyone's just trying to welcome in their new talent, and there's just so much optimism around it. But there should be still that aspect of an analyst telling you that the value, quote unquote value, isn't there. Because when a not great pick happens, there's just almost too much optimism on the reporters, in my opinion, at this point. Give some code words when it's not there. You know, the maybe not a locker room guy. You know, why is this guy falling? You know, do the quote unquote value situation. You know, great pick, great kid, he'll be fine. But the value for this team wasn't exactly. Maybe it's not a great fit, because fit's very important in the NFL for a person's career. In that same breath, I just don't think the fit's great for Penix. I mean, if he truly does, the GM came out and said Penix may sit for 4 to 5 years. That's insane. He's 24. That's, he's going to be 28 in his eyes by the time he takes a snap. That's unreal. If you're trying to do the Green Bay approach to get your next guy, you take the project from UNLV. You don't take the guy who has started for 5 years and in almost six from the COVID stuff. And then try to put some pressure on your quarterback that you signed this offseason. Just don't love it from Atlanta. I do love Penix. I do wish that he was a Raider, but I think the Raiders are a great draft. If I could pivot off of Atlanta as well.
Yeah, yeah. I just wanted to throw in, if I was a Falcons team member, just, I would just be kind of pissed off that they didn't do anything to help the team in the first round. They kind of just went future right away. And it's like, if you want to win now, you have the talent already, and you kind of just want to help that out. They didn't do it.
Totally agree. In
the first round, and it sucks. It sucks. I'd be pissed off if I was a Falcon.
No, I totally agree with you. That is a great point, is that they are built to kind of win now, especially in that weaker division. You don't take the next year's your future quarterback in that first round, eighth overall. I mean, I like the pick from Clemson, defensive tackle, great, got an edge guy, Braylon Trice from Washington, Penix's teammate, not a bad pick there. But I mean, you're built right now for an aging quarterback with Kirk Cousins, and you went in on the running back in the first round last year with Bijan. You have Kyle Pitts, you have Drake London. I mean, why not get them another wide receiver in this insanely deep wide receiver draft, or the offensive line help for Kirk? I just don't think the value was quite there. That's a very good.
No, Sterling. Yeah, that one's it's a little bit of a doozy for me to just wrap my head around, just because it's like there's so much talent on that team. It's crazy.
Yeah. Now that Arthur Smith's gone too, they have a chance. I hate that man.
They do have a chance. Much.
Feel bad for Justin Fields having to deal with him as his play caller in Pittsburgh, or Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited. That's gonna be a fun. The Steelers are gonna be a fun watch, and somehow they had it. Who did they grab? Wilson, the linebacker.
Did you see that? Steelers. Let me grab their. Their class. I don't have everything off the top of my head. I don't remember loving their picks, but I think they're okay.
Who, Pittsburgh's?
Yeah.
Yeah, they grabbed Peyton Wilson. That's who I loved.
Pittsburgh had a really good draft based on what they needed, I thought.
Took a guard from Washington. I'm just huge on
Peyton Wilson.
Center from West Virginia, Roman Wilson. Love the Roman Wilson pick in the third round, since Deontay Johnson left in free agency to Carolina. That was a great pick. Yeah, Peyton Wilson, NC State linebacker. Yeah, pretty solid. Pretty solid draft. I don't think anything speaks out to me insane, like, but solid.
I'm just saying Pittsburgh's, they're gonna be a team to watch, unfortunately, because that defense just got better, and then they got a QB. Well, yeah, I think they got a QB. They'll be all right.
I think they're a team to watch just because of the QB controversy. Like, we don't know if it's gonna be Fields or Russ. So,
yeah, I'm just saying. I think they're gonna be.
It's gonna be really fun.
They're competitive with a Kenny Pickett, so who knows what they can do now.
Yeah.
You're going to make some noise.
Yeah, where did that dude go? Where's a Kenny Biscuit now?
I believe he is an Eagle.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's right. He is an Eagle.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, not good. I kind of wanted to pivot to our own three teams. I was actually really interested to see what Mr. Matthew Morris had to say, since they went in on quarterback with J.J. McCarthy. We can talk about the Vikings, but I think since our four teams are very interesting teams in general, with the Vikings, Raiders, Colts, and Cowboys this year for their draft, would love to talk about those four. But since Morris isn't here, I thought we'd start off with the Vikings and what we think of J.J. McCarthy and going out, all in with the quarterback.
Yeah,
I'm not sold. Period. I don't know why. I just don't buy the J.J. McCarthy hype. I don't. He was in such a good system at Michigan, and granted, he does have a really good resume. But I just, I'm not convinced he's the guy. I mean, I could be horrifically wrong. But I something. I'm without adding too much more bullshit to it, I just am not sold, period. I have yet to see anything that make me think he's going to be doing wonders here for Minnesota.
I think he'll do all right, actually, if I'm going to play devil's advocate. I think he's going to do all right. It's probably going to take, I mean, I don't think he's going to have a spectacular first year, believe it or not, but I mean, I give it year two, year three, see some crazy progress. I think he's one to stay in Minnesota for a while, and from what I've seen from Morris and a few other Minnesota guys, they love it. They loved it before it even happened. They couldn't stop yapping about it, to be honest. But we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. In my opinion, he's a dog. Super competitive. He's athlete. I like him.
Fair. Here's my thing with JJ. I was kind of keeping this take close to heart because I knew we were going to do this this pod today on this glorious Saturday, so I didn't want to share it in our group chat. But I've been pretty vocal that didn't love JJ leading up to the draft. However, I love this move. It's the spot they needed. It's the glaring need. And when is a quarterback of, you know, as little experience as J.J. McCarthy going to succeed when you have Kevin O'Connell as a quarterback and you're throwing to Justin Jefferson? So, I mean, if he doesn't perform under those circumstances, he's hot garbage. And if he does okay, then great. He has a lot of room to grow. So I think that it only can be a win with the Vikings. If they have to move off of him off of 1 year, it's not bad. It's not the worst thing in the world. I mean, the Cardinals did it when they moved off of
Mr. Rosen.
Yeah, Mr. Josh Rosen from UCLA to go to Kyler. I mean, it's happened before. I think the NFL is very willing to take swings on quarterbacks nowadays. I mean, we saw it with six taken in the first 12 picks. So I think it's a great situation for JJ to be in. But I kind of see his career trajectory kind of turning out a lot like a Jared Goff. I don't think a lot of people like kind of saw that situation because they had a very different college experience, but I'm just looking at straight from a pros aspect. I don't think JJ has a great first year because of the lack of experience overall, but being able to be coached under Kevin O'Connell / Sean McVay and throwing to a great receiving core with Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, I feel like there will be enough growth, and he is not the most athletic, but athletic enough to make some of his own plays outside of the pocket and just be a leader in that kind of locker room to try to compete in that very competitive NFC North division. So I could see a very similar career path as JJ to a Jared Goff, just being a long-term, not the greatest guy, but enough to get you to an NFC championship game and try to get over the hump against the Niners, who are like a juggernaut. So we'll see how it turns out. But that's kind of how I see the JJ McCarthy panning out. Don't love him in the first year. I could begin to warm up to him years two, three down the line. That's just kind of how I project him out career path wise.
You forgot to mention JJ is going to be throwing to probably the third best wide receiver in the league, KJ Osborne. Just keep that in mind, brother.
I know you love KJ Osborne.
Love me some KJ.
Fantasy stud, KJ Osborne.
KJ to JJ to KJ. I'm in. I'm here for
JJ
it.
JJ to KJ is fire. JJ to JJ with Justin Jefferson. And JA. I mean, dude, this the initials are just all over the place. They're going to be insane.
Yeah. Just. All right, can't just wait.
Relax a little, Debbie. But
all right.
Honestly, I was going to say the same thing as you. Couldn't him and O'Connell's system will be fine.
Yeah. So that was kind of my take with the Vikings. Wanted to get that off my chest because that was the biggest, the biggest question mark with the quarterbacks. I think everyone thinks Caleb's going to be great. Getting Roma Dunze can't hurt. Some offensive line help. I think the Bears did a really good job in the draft at the top. Washington was an interesting one. We'll get to them after our teams. Snake Peak didn't love their draft, but we'll get there. I wanted to throw it to you, Beer, since you have some thoughts on the Colts. Would love to hear your breakdown of how that turned out. You know, no trade. A lot of rumors surrounding possibly trading their pick for an Ayuk / Debo since the Niners are having some troubles paying their guys. I would love to hear what you think, getting that Adonai Mitchell and going from there.
Yeah, I mean, we got the tackle we wanted. Latu, whatever the hell his name is.
Stud.
Absolute stud. So I'm not too upset with that pick. We got a corner elite. So, I mean, it's could be, you know, interesting in the secondary there, so we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, Adonai Mitchell was a steal where we got him. I'm loving what he's going to do with our wide receiver room. Ballard's been making a lot of moves for us to get more draft picks and players. I mean, overall, I'm liking what we're doing.
I couldn't agree with you more. There's a lot of chatter on a lot of the coverages of giving praise to Mr. Richardson and his offseason work that he's been putting in. So giving him the support he needs with the, like you said, the tackle help and getting their guy in Adonai Mitchell is great. The only concern I had with Adonai Mitchell was the not so great reception that Mr. Saban gave to him surrounding some work ethic issues. So I'm assuming that's why he dropped a little bit in the draft. Maybe he didn't interview as well as a lot of people thought in the combine. Would love to be a fly on the wall with a lot of those interviews and seeing why a lot of these guys have dropped. But I mean, he's a top end talent. Getting the guy as good as Adonai Mitchell where the Colts did, I thought was a steal. I think you guys did a really bang up job in the draft this year. So proud of you guys. I'm rooting for the Colts this year. I think they'll be really fun. And I'm rooting for Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, this is the best we've done in the draft in a long time. I'm really pleased. Yeah, a lot of the reports with Mitchell was that his interviews weren't great. And then, you know, there was the whole rant that Ballard went on the other day about, you know, saying it was all bullshit. And they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And he just, you know, swore like a sailor in a press conference. So I'm hoping that him defending him that much is going to pay off, but it's best draft I've seen in a while. I'm pleased with what he's done because I was really nervous about what they were going to do this year. But yeah, like I said, Richardson's got some more weapons. I'm kind of pumped. I mean, they're going to need it. The AFC South is as tight as it's ever been.
Great. Yeah, you guys got some good. You guys got some good depth in corner with this draft too. Towards the end, you guys re-signed Kenny Moore, which is solid. As for receiver, what is it? Just Michael Pittman, and then Mitchell that just came in, and who else? Oh, you guys still
Pittman,
have
Pittman, Mitchell. We got Josh Downs and Alec Pierce.
That's who it is, Alec Pierce. Josh Downs is nice too, but
Josh Downs is nice.
You guys had a solid draft. Not gonna lie, you hit every need you needed.
Sterling, since you were just talking, I was curious to see your thoughts on the Dallas draft, since very publicly inactive in free agency. You know, a lot of people going for Jerry's head in Jerry's world. So I was curious what you thought. Solidifying some tackle needs since you lost your stud tackle in free agency. Loved actually the Cooper Beebe pick out of Kansas State. I think he was one of the better guards in the draft, so I thought that was a great pick. I was just curious on your draft overall. Not an exciting draft, but it seems like you guys addressed a lot of your needs that you lost in free agency.
Yeah, I think that's what they went for, especially was our line. Our offensive line, and I think BB's actually going to move into center because the Cowboys no longer have Tyler Biadasz. So I think that move can be there. We'll see. He could play that guard spot, but we do have guards. So and I like that Guyton can play both sides. He's our first rounder out of Oklahoma and play left or right, and he does a decent job from what I've seen from his film. So I'm happy about it. A big need for us too was running back. Still haven't picked up a running back. What I'm seeing is that, I think we talked about it a little bit earlier, Zeke is going to be coming back most likely. And then him paired with like a Rico Dowdle or Deuce Vaughn, kind of like 1-2 punch, kind of what Zeke and Pollard were doing a couple of years ago. I can see that happening. It's a little unfortunate because I kind of want that solid back. Like a Jonathan Brooks would have been nice. I mean, I only hoped, but it is what it is. As far as that goes, I think I'm happy with a lot of their picks. I'd like to see some more movement to get some linebackers towards this end of the sixth, beginning of the seventh round. But hey, we'll see. And we'll see who's on the market after this draft too, just to get some depth at linebacker.
With Leighton Vander Esch out. Yeah, it was a tough year for a need at running back, considering the draft was so lackluster in the running back prospects overall. I mean, you guys had the ability to be in that running back carousel that kind of happened over this free agency period, but you guys kind of opted out. But outside of the top three in the running back from Texas, the running back from Florida State, and Blake Corum from Michigan, the outside of those three, not a whole lot of special talent at running back, just a lot of pieces. So I think you guys, bringing Zeke back, I mean, that's kind of a culture thing, and letting Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn kind of take another step into importance in a couple of years is good. I think that was a good move. I think the Dallas did get better overall, and like you said, addressed a lot of spots of need in the draft. So I think the Dallas did pretty good. I'd give it like a B. Probably a B minus overall in the off season, but not bad.
Something I like too is whenever, I think the last real big miss on a first rounder was Taco Charlton in like 2018 or something. So Dallas has hit every year since then.
Yeah, they have,
and even
really
before.
Good.
So I'm excited for how Guyton can pan out too, because. It's a big loss with Tyron Smith out and retired. Or no, he's not retired. He's a free agent right now, I believe. Which is insane. That motherfucker's old. He's broken. Unfortunate.
Kind of to wrap things up here with the NFL draft. because it wasn't a too like dynamic of a draft. You know, not many trades in the first few rounds. A lot of things kind of panned out how they were supposed to. Just wanted to talk about my team here because I'm spoiled like that. I think the Raiders did a really bang up job in the draft. It's the first time in years that they had a draft where I thought it was like, why the hell didn't we trade back and get this guy at that spot? You know, we didn't have a Cleveland Farrell fourth overall pick this year. Thank God. We finally are, we have a GM poached from the Chargers who knows to build inside out. The draft panned out where Penix wasn't going to be there at 13. And you can really address some of the positions of need for the Raiders. Like I said, building inside out, got possibly my favorite offensive line prospect in Powers Johnson from Oregon. I think he has the ability to after Jason Kelce was retired this year, I think he's already a top two center in the league. That's a bold claim, but I think he's that good. He's that dominant. He was that dominant at Oregon. There was a reason why they were so successful in the zone run game up there in Oregon. He was very impressive. Loved that pick. Loved that since Bowers fell past the Jets that they decided to snag Bowers and kind of just loading up inside out for whatever quarterback they gear up to land next year. I mean, like the projections pan out, the Raiders are probably going to be at that 6.5-7 win mark. That'll put them in a spot to, you know, take a deeper look at Shadour, Carson Beck, or Quinn Ewers for next year. So don't hate it. Loved the tackle that they took. Later on, corner didn't love, but liked the linebacker they took from Ohio State as well. So I think the Raiders did a really good job assuring, you know, the needs in the trenches. Now they have Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers running a two tight end scheme, hopefully. Maybe some flash of the Aaron Hernandez Gronk days in the Patriots. Hopefully running a similar offense to that and having one of the premier wide receivers in the league outside of Devontae Adams kind of feast one-on-one, since they're going to have so much need for safeties guarding both of those huge bodies with Brock and Michael Mayer. So it'll be really interesting to see how Alec Pierce decides to scheme some stuff open for them, and kind of excited for what the future for the Raiders holds. It was a really great draft for them. Really excited.
I was about to say too.
So what I'm hearing is.
I was just going to say,
it sounds like we're shit. I was just gonna say, it sounds like so far we're all pretty content with how our teams are doing.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I feel like we all have good reasons to be. I think all of us. There was no like huge like loser, I think, this year in the draft, aside from maybe Atlanta, if you're really pissed that you spent an eighth overall on Penix. But
yeah,
I mean, we should be happy. We'll see how it pans out come rookie camp and preseason practice time, and we'll be ready for week one. We'll see how our teams do, how they progress in the off season, and it'll be really fun.
I wanted to just mention, because you brought up the possibility of running a two tight ends in Las Vegas, dude, that would be lethal if it was kind of one of those Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski kind of days. Because that shit was fun to watch.
So it was awesome.
You got two big ass dudes too with Mayers and Bowers. Like that's gonna be fun, man.
Michael Mayers is a giant body. He was the number one tight end prospect last year. I mean, we went back to back first round picks with tight end. Like, I mean, I don't love it, but I don't hate it if we can start to scheme our offense around it. Like, if you, instead of what Atlanta does to ignore Pitts, like if you just lean in on the big body tight ends and let Devontae eat on the outside one-on-one, because again, like there's going to be so much need for safety help guarding those guys. It'll be really fun to see what Gardner can sling around and try to set us up for a quarterback next year. So
you guys still got O'Connell on the roster?
We do. AOC is still on the roster. But I think the contention is that Gardner's going to be the guy. But who knows?
It's going to be fun.
You're going to love him.
I love Gardner. I really do. I liked him on the Colts. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, Pookie Gardner on the Colts has really high highs and really low lows. He's just a roller coaster every week.
Perfect quarterback for a 7-win team.
Correct.
That's actually well said. Oh, man.
Well, that's kind of all I had planned for us today. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to add? Maybe one big thing here at the tail end of the pod?
Let me think.
Well, I mean, one guy I forgot to mention when I was talking about the Colts is that O-line guy from Pitt that they picked up. I think it's like Gonclavis or some shit. It's one of those two. So apologies for butchering that name, but yeah, dude's a dog. They released, you know how they do the phone calls, stuff that on their social media, and dude just kept screaming, "I'm a fucking Colt." I'm like, I love that because I don't think I've ever heard anybody be that excited to be an Indianapolis Colt in my life.
Yeah, a dude's got some fucking issues.
Exactly, which is why I need his big, weird-ass head in the trenches blocking for Richardson. Just needed to give that man his flowers. Like I said, I'm really enthusiastic for where the Colts are, but same time, you got Tennessee getting some really good signings this offseason. Draft was they didn't get Joe Alt, who, by the way, just got to mention, Joe Alt, I keep seeing shit on Twitter about him being an auraless lineman. Dude's gonna be he's a beast. He's a behemoth. He's has no aura. He's just a normal guy.
It's the most John Harbaugh pick I've ever seen in my entire life.
Dude, 1,000%.
I'm so excited for that guy.
He reminds me of when Quentin Nelson was coming out of Notre Dame back in the day. Point is all this, you mean with Houston loading up, Tennessee's loading up, and Jacksonville's just kind of there. I mean, if they don't choke it away again, the AFC South is going to be really difficult for a long time. So I'm glad the Colts are finally putting pieces together here to make us at least competitive in the division. But I just need to give that guy his flowers, and again, so, Colts will be interesting. Whole league's going to be interesting now, I think, more so than I thought it was going to be.
Sweet.
Just one thing to add for our thousands of viewers. Something to think about here. Something to think about here.
Natives out there.
I'm holding up a sticky note. It says, Bo Nix. Bo Nix wins QB job for Denver. Think about that. Terrible. Let it sit. He's going to fucking do it. There's four very, very mid players on that team. Mid quarterbacks. Starting with Bo Nix.
Jarrett Stidham is mid? How dare you?
Actually, there's only one.
You bite your
tongue.
There's
only one quarterback in that QB room that's great, and that is Benvenucci. Other than that, we got Bo Nix, Zach Wilson, and Jarrett Stidham. Love Jarrett Stidham, by the way, too. He's great. I think Nix pulls that one out. I got $20, whoever wants to bet me.
I'm not putting anything that is monetary value on the Denver Broncos.
Is it for week one, or is it just over the course of the year?
No, just week one starter. Who wins the job?
Week one starter? You think Bo Nix is the week one starter for the Broncos? I am tempted to take you up on that because
it could be Zach Wilson.
It could very well be Jarrett Stidham.
Ooh. Sterling, have you not seen the Denver MILF game? Wilson's in his prime out there. It's true. In the mountains. The ski MILFs. He's loaded up.
Mm-hmm.
He's back near the Mormon homeland. That's true. Gotta be dialed.
Dude's just horned up, man.
Commuting over just to stay away. They're probably just busting him in from Salt Lake, dude. It's game over.
He's back just home. Busting.
Can you calm down over there?
He's... I dare anybody to tell him he's wrong, because they could be bussing. They could be bussing him in. They could be.
That's right, too, brother.
He wasn't messing with the Bronx. Like, he needed those Cougars out there in Salt Lake.
I mean, the Mormon Mills trekked over the Rockies over there. They can trek their ass back over to the flatlands of Denver and give Zach Wilson the motivation he needs to bring another title back.
Superpowers.
I don't know.
Damn.
I'm just speculating here. I'm just kind of.
Well, who knows?
All right, cool. Fantastic end of the pod. I'll keep adding. We'll, for future pods, we'll keep doing the one big thing at the end. We'll get a little less serious.
Denver Mills, one big thing.
Exactly. Perfect. So that's all I got for us. Thanks for tuning in to, like Sterling said, the thousands of fans out there for all of us. Appreciate it. Remember, trust your gut. Beer, Sterling, Drew Devitt. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
3, 2, 1. Pleasure as always. Stay handsome.